Well, it's good to be back in the pulpit. Good morning, everybody. Well, this morning I want to continue on with our teaching that we started at the beginning of the new year, which is, I believe that the Lord is going to bring us this year. I really do believe that righteousness is going to be, your righteousness is going to break through into your life. In other words, you're going to really understand it. You're going to see it. And I believe the Holy Spirit is drawing people, especially at this hour, to understand who they really are. Because, like, the name of my message today is, it changes everything. It is definitely life-changing. When you really, really grab hold of it, you believe it, and you begin to live in it. And for the most part, I know the church, you know, we've known about it, we assent to it, but you really haven't grabbed hold of it and thought, man, this is mine, this is amazing, and really used it in your life, you know. And so we're going to just keep, I'm going to keep on preaching it. You're going to get sick of hearing it. But like Jesus said, there is one scripture in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, where it says that I will not rest until righteousness has gone forth. And I believe that is prophetic for today. God is not resting until his children know who they are, until they stand up and walk in who they are and begin to experience what God has designed for them even from the beginning. Because each one of our lives is written ahead of time. And there's a book. And everything that the Lord designed you specifically for is in that book. And in order for us to fulfill, to be and to be fulfilled in this life, because that's what we're created for. How many times do we go through life and you know, you have you ever stopped and asked yourself, you know, like, am I completely fulfilled? Is there a part that I don't even know about in me that God has placed there? And that I'm just not stepping into it. And throughout life, many people, not all, but many people all of a sudden tap into something that they would never have dreamt of. By accident, maybe, you know, coincidence that they tapped into it and they find, oh my goodness, I was born for this, you know. But until you tap into it, you just don't. And so I believe God is gathering his church, because I believe the Lord's return is coming very, very soon. And he wants us to finish strong and to tap into live that fulfilled life. Jesus said, I come to give you life and life in abundance. It's not just about your possessions. It's about being fulfilled on the inside. And you know that when you are fulfilled on the inside, possessions don't really matter that much. You know, I mean, yes, it's nice to have nice things, nice house, nice car, whatever, but those things are so fleeting, you know, gives you a little joy for a while, but then after a while, it's like you're restless again. Like, you know what I mean? It's always, that's why we're always buying new things, because we're restless and we're trying to fulfill ourselves on the inside, which only God can do. And so that's where I believe God is leading us this year. And the whole key of it and the whole thing that we need to understand and comprehend in order to enter into that is righteousness. So, you know, I say that this is the year that the gift of righteousness will be revealed in a much greater measure, or maybe it's just that we're going to finally get it, you know, because righteousness, I've been teaching on it for years, and, you know, I'm not pointing fingers, because I struggle with it. You know, and I knew this year the Lord has really been in my own life, really driving that home to me. Like, I know that I need to delve into it. I need to see it. I need to eat it. I need to wear it, you know, and that God can't do that for me. But he does give us the willingness and the desire to do of his good pleasure. And so I believe that this year God is going to put the desire in your heart, the willingness to take a hold of that thing like a dog on a bone, and I ain't letting it go because it's mine. And so bear with me as we talk about righteousness again, because it is that important. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We all are so familiar with this scripture. In it, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto all blessing. Salvation is safety in mind, body, and estate. In other words, the complete fulfillment and peace in every area of your life, whether it's your health, your mind, and let's face it, we could all use a little bit of help in every area of life. Whether it's your children, your marriage, your job, God wants you to be complete and happy and living your best life in each area of life. And that's what salvation is. And so it says the gospel message of Jesus is the power unto all those things. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed. For in the gospel, God's righteousness is revealed. So I believe that the revelation, the understanding of your righteousness, the knowing of your righteousness that is revealed, it's revealed through the gospel. It is that that is the power of God unto salvation. Yes, the gospel message is the power. But what is the gospel message of salvation? It is your righteousness seen through the cross. And a lot of people, they don't understand that. They see the cross as the place where Jesus died for their sins, period. That's how they see the cross. And there, it, like I said when I started this whole thing, it is so much bigger than you think or than you've been led to believe. And for so long, we've been taught and led to believe, I shouldn't say taught, but led to believe that righteousness is up to you. After you get saved, after you receive forgiveness of sins and Jesus has cleaned you all up, now you go and you live it. And so there was so much pressure put on us. And we felt guilty, we felt ashamed, and we felt bad because we couldn't keep up, we couldn't do it. In fact, life a lot of times for the Christian became worse and more stressful than it was before you knew that. Before you received Jesus. Because before you received Jesus, you didn't know you were supposed to live up to anything. But now it was like this new burden was placed on us. And I know because I went through it. And I was confused. Because I thought, wow. And I would look back to the days where I wasn't saved. And I thought, man, I used to just breeze through life. I was never the type of person that was, depressed or down. I mean, some people just are. They're metabolic makeup in their minds, or maybe the way they were raised, or who knows what causes all of that. I'm not judging her, but I'm just saying I wasn't. I was type of person that just kind of like, oh well, whatever, you know, I was pretty easygoing when it came to that kind of thing. But after I got saved, everything changed. And I believe it was because we were led to believe that now you have to be righteous, you know, whereas before, nobody ever told me that. You understand what I'm trying to say. But it's taken a whole circle now, and I'm coming back to that, all that again, and I'm thinking, okay, something's wrong with this picture, you know. So that's the sad thing. But understanding and believing in your righteousness will cause you, it'll change everything. It'll cause you to see things differently. You'll approach everything in life differently. With a different approach, you will think differently, you will speak differently, and you will also act differently, and you will expect differently. I mean, on and on the list goes. It will change you like nothing else can change you. God always changes you from the inside out. No rehab in this world, or where else would you go? Crisis center is going to bring change like this changes you. Because it will change you. It brings the most radical change, like I say, that no rehab or any other center can bring. Instead of the tail, you're going to become the head. Instead of being underneath circumstances, you are now going to be on top. It just totally takes you from here to here. In a nanosecond, when you finally understand it and get it. Instead of being powerless in adverse circumstances, like so many of us feel, we just don't know what to do, and it's like, oh, it is what it is, and we just kind of put up with it, you will become powerful. the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. That's what Deuteronomy says. So I encourage all of us for this year, especially this year, hone in on it, read it, ponder it, meditate on it. Because that's where it starts to click, is the more you think on something, the more it becomes real to you. And you see more and more and more until that day where, I mean, we're just constantly going further into the light. Constantly. I mean, if we were given life, and the Bible says that sin leads to death, life leads to light, to life. You know what I'm saying? Like, we ought to be getting closer, and it ought to be getting brighter and brighter and brighter for us as we walk each and every day. But sadly, that's a lot of times not the case. And I believe that, for the most part, Christians have such little understanding of what righteousness really is and what it really means for you and me to be righteous. Because we've become so accustomed to our natural world and the ways of the world, it's difficult for us to grasp that it can be any different, and that we, little me, has the ability to walk beyond and above what's going on in the world. That's hard for us to understand, because the question, the enemy will always come along and say, why me? You know, it's difficult for us to escape from the sufferings of this world. And because we don't fully understand righteousness, we're quick to blame God for the problems. Well, it mustn't have been his will, you know, when your child dies at the age of 6. You know, this had to happen for some reason. So you grasp and you think there has to be a reason for this. And so you blame God. And I'm not even talking about the non-Christians. I'm talking about Christians. Must have been his sovereign will. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to accept it for whatever the reason. And so it's just so wrong. And then we're supposed to worship this God and praise him for his love and his grace and goodness. You know, and so you can see how over the generations, how God has been made to look hard. You know, yes, he's love, but don't question him. You know, and that's not the God I serve. That's not the God that I see in the Bible. And so this kind of thinking has to be stopped in the eyes of God's children. If you're a child of God, he's your heavenly Father. You ought to know him better than you know anyone else. So this is messed up thinking. And if you really believe that your prayers isn't going to, why even pray? God's going to do what he's going to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it kind of takes away, you know, the idea that our prayers will make really, or that we can have real solid faith in this God. And you know, when God first created Adam and Eve, he made them in his image and in his likeness. They were, the Bible says, innocent, blameless before God. They walked, they talked with God, they fellowshipped with God every evening in the cool of the garden. But God gave them one law, just one. Of all the trees in the garden, you can freely eat. You see the generosity of God there. He gave it all to them. Except one tree. Don't touch it. Because in the day that you touch it, in dying, is actually the way the real Hebrew reads, in dying, you shall die. So what happened? They ate it. And immediately, they knew something had changed. They lost something. So what did they do? They grabbed fig leaves and tried to cover up their naked bodies because they didn't understand what they had just lost. But I guarantee you, and I know, they lost their righteousness. So righteousness is our connection with our absolute Like we're one. Like the you just see the connection with God. And in that connection, all things are given you. It just keeps beaming down on you. Whether it's life, whether it's health, whether it's, you know, they lost that. And they knew they were naked. It says they knew something had happened. So they covered up, tried to make themselves feel better. And we do that today. Because people that are not saved, they're continually reaching for other things to cover up the inside and how empty they feel, how hopeless they feel. They won't show the world. They've got their cover on. But Adam and Eve immediately lost their righteousness when they ate from that tree. Now remember, we're talking about righteousness and the fact that we are now righteous. And when they fell, when they sinned, they fell underneath the curse of the law of sin and death. And so did the whole universe. The whole planet fell under that law. God's a God of laws. Did you know that? There's a court in heaven. And you got to understand that God is the judge of all. And he is so righteous. He is so fair, so even, so just. That's what makes him righteous. And at the end of the day, you might think, well, every sin's going to have to be made accountable for. But you know what? Thank God that he's like that. Because that tells us that when he says something, you can bank on it. He said, in the day that you eat, in dying, you will die. Is that law still evident today? It's still evident. 6,000 years ago, he spoke those words. And we see death all around us. It's tragic, the suffering we see in the world. And especially when I see it with children that have to suffer because of this curse that's on the universe. It's not God who's doing it. It still stems back from that first Adam's sin. And we see the ramifications of it every day. In fact, I think it's getting worse. You know, at least back then, people didn't die sometimes for 900 years. Here, if we make it to 100, we're considered blessed. And the earth came under the same curse, the curse of death. In other words, everything's passing away, everything's dying. It's like we got stung. You know how you have these beautiful fruit and one of them has a little spot on it. But you know that little spot it's rotten. It's going to rot the whole apple. And that's kind of how sin is. It starts with just a little spot. But eventually the whole thing decays and it's corrupt and you throw it away. And that's how our bodies are. But the earth came. Now think about this. Man, yes, they, because of their sin. So why the whole universe? Well, number one, Adam was given complete authority and dominion over the earth. So it kind of belonged to him. And so when he went down, the whole world went down, the whole universe. But also, it also was for Adam's benefit that the world came under the curse as well. Because could you imagine if the world didn't and Adam was? So at least it gave him a little bit of control. Because they were all on the same playing field. But anyways, I'm spending too much time talking about this. So Adam and Eve knew there was something not right. Something had happened. They lost something. So they tried to replace it with fig leaves. They had lost their righteousness, and they are now sinners. And they are now under the curse of the law, which is death. The law is called the law of sin and death. And if you bring it into the new covenant, you will see it mentioned. The law of sin and death. Laws do not change. God's laws remain. Okay? Now, how do we get around these laws? Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Let's read this first. It says, wherefore, as by one man, which is Adam, sin entered the world and death by sin. Okay? If you eat the tree, if you sin, that was the sin, then death is the punishment. So death then, it says, passed upon all men because all have sinned. So to be a sinner means you have sin nature. It's in your nature to sin. You know, and we all have it, like, it's like, okay, the thing I know I should do, I'm not doing. The thing I don't want to do, I'm always doing. You know, it's that's just the dilemma we have. And we just, like Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this thing, this fight that's going on the inside of me? But in the natural, it is our nature, it is in our nature to sin when we are sinners. And you have to understand. And if you don't understand this, then things get very confusing. That this natural world is still under that law of sin and death. And God, being as righteous, being the righteous judge that he is, and like I say, thank God for it, because it works to our benefit, especially today. Being the righteous judge that he is, could not just say, oh, kids will be these kids. You know how sometimes we just sweep things under the rug and we just don't want to deal with it. That's not the hill I want to die on today. But that's not God. Because the Bible teaches us that every disobedience, every transgression needs to be paid for. It has to be settled. When he balances the books at the end of the day, there better not be even 1/1000th of a penny missing out of that account. That's our God. Completely and totally righteous. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost all power, all dominion to overcome anything. Because everything became under the curse and decay and death. So he couldn't just sweep it under the rug, because he is righteous. He's holy. He's perfect. And like I say, that's a good thing. Now we can trust his word. But as surely as God is a holy, righteous, and just God, he's also love. And God couldn't sweep the law of sin and death. He couldn't just disband it and say, oh, it's not in effect anymore. He couldn't do that. But he could fulfill it. In other words, he could make the payment. He could pay the price himself. He was the only one that could. You know why? He was the only one righteous. That he was the only righteous person in according to his standard. And he would know because he created us. He's the only one that had never sinned, never would sin, had no sin, did no sin, thought no sin. And someday we'll understand that. You see, because we live in a world of sin, our minds, you know, we have never experienced the purity that God is. You know what I'm saying? In that sense. And we will understand it someday. When we see him, when we're in his presence, just the holiness of God alone is going to bring you to your knees. So Jesus was sent, the second person of God. He came as a man in order to die as a man, basically. He had to put on a flesh body in order to enter into this world. And to take our place, he had to become like us, which was a man. But Jesus is God. So he became as us at the cross. He became our sin. He wasn't sin until he hung on that cross. Cursed is everyone. It is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That was written in the Old Testament. Cursed is everyone. Jesus became the curse. The curse that your sins deserve. The curse that came into the world because of sin. He became sin. He didn't become a sinner. He became the sin. Wow. And he died our death. And every sin, from the first to the last ever committed, was paid off in full In fact, he made an overpayment. An overpayment. And not only did he pay for it, then he poured out his blood, and it was washed away forever. And the Bible tells us that your sins have been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. How long? Forgetfulness is forever. Your sins are done. And when Jesus comes back a second time, he's not coming back to deal with sin. Sin has been dealt. He dealt with sin the first time he came. And it says he will never die to sin again. Therefore, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, as he does. In other words, Jesus doesn't think about his, that job was done thousands of years ago already. But what he's coming back to do is to judge those who did not receive the gift of his blood. We know that by the word of God that we have been placed into his death. We all died with him. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, he was raised. I mean, he could have gone straight back to heaven and that's it. But no, no, no. The Bible says he was raised back to this earth, to life again as a human man. Why? For your righteousness. As he is, so are you. He was raised completely righteous. Why? Because every sin had been paid for. He took it all on him, the whole mess of sin. It was huge and ugly and nasty. He paid for it, and when he came out of the grave, he took unto himself all glory, all beauty, all perfection, and all righteousness. And you were raised in him like him. So you now, by receiving Jesus, you are born into his nature. You become like him. You're born of the Spirit, or as some people say, you're born again. That's what it means. And more importantly, it means I am now righteous. Why? Because my sins are all washed away. I'm as righteous as Jesus is. It's not your righteousness, it's his. But you dwell and you live in him. And as he is, so are you. You can't be separated from Jesus ever. Can you claim that righteousness? Yes, you can. So it's only, I mean, the whole world was placed in, but it's only those who receive it, this gift. God has given us a second choice, just like he said to Adam, don't eat from that tree. God always has to give us a choice so that we choose. He doesn't want us to be like a bunch of little robots. He wants us to desire him. That's what it's all about. He wants our heart. At the end of the day, it's what he wants you. He wants you to be a child of his that loves him, that he loves fellowshipping with you. It's why do you think he created us? Why do you think he was willing to give up his only son? Because he desires you more than you understand. And he loves it when you take time to talk to him. You know, too often we ignore God in our lives. And if we would just even during the day, you know, practicing the presence is really good because you got to remember he's always there. And you don't have to be in prayer and travailing. No, just talk to him like you would talk to your husband that's walking around the room. Or don't ignore him. Acknowledge him. And you'll be shocked at how much and how many times you'll hear him speak back. So you're developing your spirit when you do that because it's in your spirit that he lives and it's in your spirit that he speaks from. And he does speak. So it's only now by our faith in this world, if you believe in that and you take that sacrifice to yourself, now you become the righteousness of God in Christ. Now you are delivered from the law of sin and death. That's it. You're above now. You are not underneath this world and all of the curse and the suffering that's going on in the world. And as easy as that is to say, it's not easy to grab hold of it and live it. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what does God's word say? Because you know God's word never passes away. It says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or accredited to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that righteousness was imputed to him because he believed, but to us also, to whom it will be imputed if we believe on him that raised Christ from the dead. In other words, the same righteousness is going to be imputed on you. Why? For just believing it. So if you have believed on Jesus and that he took your place in dying your death, paying off your sin debt, then you are no longer a sinner. But you are now the righteousness of God in Christ. Why? Because your sins are gone. No other reason. Because Jesus' blood washed away my sins. You can't stand up and say, well, because I am a good person, and I fed the hungry, and I sacrificed, and I helped my neighbors, and I went to church every Sunday, and I prayed every night. No. That doesn't make you righteous. The blood makes you righteous. And you see, that takes humility to realize that nothing you do, nothing you've done, can earn any special privileges with God. It had to be the blood. But once you realize that and you think, who cares? I want to be righteous. I don't care how I got there. You know, and if Jesus is giving these things away freely, well, I'm the first in line. I'll say, give me, give me, give me. You see, that's humility. Because it's like, I don't care. I don't care about trying to prove myself. I know I can't do it. And I don't want to have to try to be better than somebody else. We're all in the same boat together. The only difference is you might have a little more knowledge than me, a little more revelation, which makes your life a little better. You see, it's all about what you know. It's not about anything else. It's not about what you do. So if we've believed on the Lord Jesus and he took our place in death, paid off my sin debt, then I am no longer a sinner. But I am now as he is, the Bible says. And as such, we are now free from the law of sin and death. Why? I explained this to the kids last week. God is a God of laws, right? We know that. And I asked the kids, what's a law that we know about that is, I mean, it's a sure thing. And of course, they guessed it. It was Jonathan who said gravity. And I said, oh, yes, gravity is a law. Thank God there's gravity on the earth. And thank God it works every day. Because otherwise, we'd all be floating around. Megan, you wouldn't have to worry about your dust all over because it would float away. And maybe that's a good thing for you. But you know what I'm saying. It keeps us grounded on the earth. I said, but. And I said, gravity never fails. What goes up must come down. And we trust that law. We're not going to jump off of the water tower because we know we're coming down hard. We don't doubt that law, do we? It's a natural law God put in place. But, and that's like the law of sin and death. It's a law. But we can supersede that law. What is the law that supersedes gravity? Anybody know the name of it? Every time you get in an airplane, that law comes into play. The law is called the law of lift and thrust. Okay? And it supersedes the law of gravity. So now in Christ, you have superseded the law of sin and death. How? Through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Life, you are righteous because of the life that has been placed in you now. Who is Jesus? That law supersedes. In other words, what Jesus did at the cross supersedes the law of sin and death. He fulfilled the law for you. You don't have to worry. That's why the Bible says you're dead to the law. In other words, does a dead man in the grave keep the law? If you ask somebody that question, is he a good citizen? Does he keep the, and you would say, well, he neither keeps the law nor breaks the law. He's dead. And that's how the Bible says you ought to view yourself. You are dead to the law. You died in Christ, and you are now risen to a new law, which is the law of the life of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. And so laws are very important. That's why God is a judicial God. There's courts in heaven. I know there is. And when we ask and when we approach God with the right legal things, I mean, he said, ask anything in my name. That is all we need to do. Last night, or the night before, I was listening to some program. Anyways, they had an interview. Oh, it was at that big Davos thing that went on last week. They had their, was it the World Economic Forum gathering? Yeah. Anyways, Elon Musk was there. And they showed a small clip of him being interviewed by some woman. And they asked him the question because they were talking about the AI and the acceleration of AI that has just been happening in the last very short while. And how it's like, it's mind-boggling what they can do with AI. So the question he was asked was, do you believe and are you really pushing in to find out or to bring out the answer to life? In other words, do you think we will be able, or are you working on discovering why people die and that we, through AI, can live forever? She's talking about death. And he scratched his head a little, and I liked his answer because he just said, I wasn't really getting into that, he said right now. I'm not really pushing into that. He answered it very, like, kind of pushed it away. But I thought to myself, what is it about the world? They think death is a mystery and that they're going to solve that mystery. You cannot solve, this mystery is spiritual. There will be no physical answer for it. And nor can you fix it in the natural. It is a spiritual problem. In dying, your spirit died. You will die. Your spirit dies, your body dies. Now, in living, now that we live in the spirit of life, our bodies can live. The Bible says that the spirit of God, the spirit of life in you, will quicken your short-lived, perishable, mortal bodies. So we can still enjoy, even though this body hasn't been redeemed yet. It still has that sin in it. And don't forget that. So as long as you live in this earth, your body is fighting you. It's not the neighbors, it's yourself. And as long, but we have the power through the spirit of life to continually walk in life. The authority of your life now belongs back in your ball, in your court. The devil doesn't have it anymore. Why? Because you've been lifted up above that curse. You have the authority. And many Christians don't believe that. They believe that when their time is up, it's up. That's, to me, that takes all the onus off of you and puts it on to, like, it's there again. It's God who takes life. God doesn't take life. He gave life. God didn't come to make bad people good. He came to give dead people life. So he's not going to turn around now and take your life. He's put the authority. When Adam and Eve were placed into the garden, they had authority, dominion over everything. You have that authority back through the spirit of life in the name of Jesus. Because does Jesus have all the power and authority in this world? Absolutely. But he's delegated it to you. As the Father sent me, so now I'm sending you. You've got what you need. You've got what you need through the spirit of life in you. That means nothing's out of reach. If you want to live a long life, you can do so. You can live as long as you want to. It's in your ballpark. No enemy can come and take your life because you are the righteousness of God in Christ. He is illegally operating. And like I said, God knows it. He is the judge of all. So the very little understanding of our world, even in just the things like death, it's a mystery to them. Why do people die? Let's solve this mystery so that we can live forever. It makes me laugh. I wish it would have been that easy. So they can no more stop death than they can keep the sun from rising every morning. Although they probably would try that too. They're blocking it out to push back, you know, climate change and global warming and all of that. But my point is you are no longer under the law of sin and death any longer. Christ has set you free at the cross. And now you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And when you speak that out, you understand what you're speaking. You're basically saying to the situation, to the enemy, whoever, I am as he is. And remember, the devils, they know who Jesus is. Remember the book of Acts where those guys were watching the disciples using the name of Jesus and they saw all these miracles and powerful things happening and say, hey, let's try that name. And so they did. You know, they went up to someone who was possessed with a devil and said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus to come out. I think they said in the name of Jesus that Paul uses. Anyways, and the devil stopped and looked at these guys and said, we know Jesus and we know Paul, but who are you? And they jumped on them and they went out screaming and yelling and running, you know. So we have what the world doesn't have. And you are lit up. When you walk into a room, it's like Jesus walking into the room. You don't see it yourself, but you've got to be aware of it. You've got to start being more cognizant of who you are. Because knowing that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, knowing that gives you power, ought to give you confidence. And it's also, I don't really care. I'm not here for the glory of man. I'm here for the glory of God. How much time do I have? 7 minutes. Okay. So what do we do when the curse does come upon us or does start nipping at our heels? It happens. I mean, we're in this world of the enemy's gonna push. He's gonna lie to you and tell you, nah, you don't got no power, and what are you gonna do? And oh my goodness, look at your mess, look at your life. It's gonna get your eyes off of your righteousness and onto all your weaknesses and your failures, and we're all in the same, like I say. That's why the Bible says, share your weaknesses one with another, pray for one another, because it shows us that we're all in the same boat. And if the enemy is telling you one lie, he's telling me the same lie. He has nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. So what happens when it comes knocking on our doors? When maybe it's our health begins to deteriorate, and or maybe it's a loved one. Remember, we're still living in this fallen body, and it is possible for us to get sick. If we're not using with our authority the righteousness of God in order to continually stay in divine health, I mean, that's something we don't lay down. So this curse can alight on us. But when we were accredited by our faith in believing God, that we are the righteousness of God, we know that that righteousness now supersedes the law of sin and death, which is still at work in our bodies. So what do we do when the curse comes at us? Well, you know, most Christians get anxious, they get fearful, they, oh my goodness, I'm worried. And then your first thought is, what can I do? I got to do something. Oh, I need to pray more. I need to read my Bible more. And it's like in their doing, they're feeling like they're getting closer to maybe getting God to move on their behalf. Well, I can tell you this, you cannot manipulate God. And my point is if God hasn't already done it, we couldn't have faith to believe it. But you see, everything is done. Finished. God's not healing people today. God is not saving people today. It was all done at the cross. It is finished. And now it's up to you and I to receive what he did. He's deposited into our account. That's our inheritance. And by faith, we make a withdrawal. I mean, it's like going into the bank. If you go into the bank, you need $1,000 today, or it's a life and death situation. And you know you have money in the bank, but you go in there and you're told you have money in the bank, and you go in there and you're groveling with the teller, please give me $1,000. And she checks your account. That's like going to God. God checks your account and sees that you are righteous and you're in Christ and all things belong to you, but you're groveling, begging, pleading for this money. She's gonna think you're nuts. And all she's going to say to you is, stop, stop, stop. Just sign here on the dotted line, and I'll give you the money. It's yours. It's yours to withdraw. And guess what we're signing when we go for our withdrawal from the Lord? the name of Jesus. We don't put our name down. It's his name, because he's the one who made the deposit. So it's in his name. And if the teller gives the money, how much more God is going to give you what he said and promised you through Christ? All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. And that word will never pass away. So just simply go in and withdraw in the name of Jesus. Don't get anxious. Don't be excited. Just rest and speak. And then if you want to pray, let it be prayers of thanksgiving. You've got to believe before you go into that bank. You got to know that it's yours. You're not going in there to rob the bank and take somebody else's money. You're there to withdraw your own. And we act like we have nothing, we're poor and we're groveling for every dime. No, you're rich. You have everything in the name of Jesus. Everything. It's up to you. Withdraw as much as you want. Because the more you withdraw, the bigger he gets. The more blessed you are, you both. It's a win-win situation. Think about it. God wants nothing more than for the world who is on their way to hell, pardon me for my expression, but it's true, to see who we are, the goodness of God, and the life and the wonderful things God gives us. It's the goodness of God that brings people in and saying, hey, how come you're so blessed? Hey, how come you're healed? Hey, how come, blah, 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 on and on and on it goes. And when you start giving it away, laying hands on the sick and they recover, of course they're going to take notice. So Jesus becomes bigger. The more people that are added to his body, he gets bigger and bigger and bigger, more magnified, more glorified. So come and take lots. The more you take, the happier God is, because it's only more and more proof that Jesus Christ is real, that he truly has made you righteous, and that, you know, it's all about building up the body of Christ. And so don't ever sit back and say, you know what? I can live without that. No matter how small it is. Because a lot of times we do that. I can live without that. I don't need that. No, don't do that. Don't do that, because it might be an opportunity. It might lead somebody else to the Lord, that little act of yours, by faith. And we know God's word will never pass away, because we see it all around us. There's no excuse for us not believing it. Take it. Spend time in it. Use it. And just watch God work. Amen? We're going to close with that. I have more, but we'll finish that another time. Okay?